The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. So much to talk about today, but I'm going to start with something that you would not expect at all. Mm-hmm. And that is the fact that Israeli swimmers have been in action over the weekend in European competitions and actually won medals. Amit Dadon is a swimmer, an Israeli swimmer in the Paralympics, in the paraplegic swimming arena. And he actually won 3 gold medals with 2 world records at the European Para Swimming Championships in the Portuguese island of Madeira. And he managed to get 4 medals. Mark Malia also managed to get 4 medals, including a gold medal. So Israeli para swimmers really successful over the weekend. And Anastasia Gorbenko, who is an Israeli swimmer swimming the individual medley, won gold medal in the European Championships in Budapest over the weekend. And she is off to the Tokyo Olympics, having qualified. So good news. And now we're going to get on to the things that people really thought I was going to talk about today.
Which, of course, is the ceasefire. Has everything held? Is it quiet? What's the current status?
So the current status is that since the early hours of Friday morning, we have a ceasefire. Rockets have stopped coming from Gaza towards Israel. The Israeli Defense Force has ceased its attacks against Gaza. So we effectively have quiet along the Gaza border and, of course, from Gaza towards Israel. The status for the IDF, where the IDF is concerned, is that we're still on alert, and that even though quite a number of people were called up to reserve duty, and some of them have been returned home. Not all of them have been returned home. So we're still very much in a state of readiness, a state of alert, not only in the south, but indeed in the north as well. That is likely to continue for some time. Of course, the post-mortem
How's it been perceived? Because I'm seeing such mixed reports in terms of where success lies here.
So I'd like to tie this back in at the end with some of the reaction that we've seen abroad, particularly the protests that we saw around the world yesterday, not least of which in Johannesburg and in Cape Town, some frightening protests that we saw. I'm going to come around to the end of it. I think the way that I'd like to start trying to assess Operation Guardian of the Walls is to look at what didn't happen. I think it's important for us to know what didn't happen before we talk about what did happen. So what didn't happen was that we didn't see wholesale civilian deaths and indeed even larger numbers of Israeli deaths, even though, for example, the city of Ashkelon had to suffer more than 1,000 rockets, had 700 buildings hit, just the city of Ashkelon, 700 places damaged over the course of the 10 days, 200 cars apparently were damaged, were hit by shrapnel or by rocket fire. We really had very, very few civilian deaths and even deaths in total. 13 people all in all were killed over the course of the operation. We mourn every single loss of life, and our condolences go to all those families who lost loved ones during the course of the operation. But when we compare it to previous operations and previous conflicts that Israel has been involved in, it's a relatively low loss of life. 1 soldier, 12 civilians. And so, you know, when we look at the number of people that we've had to mourn, the deaths that we've had to mourn, relatively low numbers. No incursions over the Gaza border. Nobody digging tunnels under the border. Nobody coming in over the border during the course of this particular operation. I think that that's a huge success. We can thank the wall that has been constructed, a smart wall with sensors going down very, very deep indeed, and also above ground. We do know that IDF soldiers were on alert along the Gaza border, expecting there to be incursions, not underground incursions, but indeed overground incursions, because underground is almost an impossible task these days. Those incursions never happened. So we certainly had some sort of a seal along the Gaza border. And what also didn't happen was that there were not massive numbers of civilian casualties in Gaza. Even if we believe every single word that has come out of Gaza about the number of people who were killed there, even if we believe every single one that they were all civilians and they were all children and they were all innocent women, let's believe all of those for a moment. The numbers are really relatively low. And especially when you consider the massive destruction that went on in Gaza during that period, when you see a 12-story building come down, when you see the huge numbers of houses that were hit, piles of rubble everywhere. The Israelis were very pinpoint and were very uncompromising in going after places where they felt that Hamas was operating. They were very uncompromising in getting rid of civilians from the area, such that the number of casualties are really quite remarkably low. And I think the number that I've seen is 250-odd casualties in Gaza. The IDF are claiming that over 200 Hamas operatives were hit. So let's take the operatives out and leave the rest. It's really amazingly low in numbers of casualties. And when you think about any other conflict where you see such huge destruction of high-rise buildings and of civilian neighborhoods and things like that, you would expect there to be thousands and thousands of casualties in the process. And this was not the case. So the only thing that Associated Press and Al Jazeera had to complain about was that they weren't given enough time to get their equipment out of the buildings before they were destroyed. Okay? That's not a bad report to have to suffer, considering what could have been under the circumstances. So I think that there are a lot of good things that we can say did not happen, because we don't always think about what didn't happen.
Absolutely.
We always
talk about what did happen. I think it's a very interesting perspective. I liked it.
So that's what didn't happen. Interestingly, 47% of Israelis feel that the ceasefire on Friday should not have happened, that it was too soon, and that we should have continued, that it was not justified. Now, when we come out of an operation like this, unless we can be standing on top of some victorious, it was some victorious stance showing what we've managed to achieve, it's very difficult to say what we've really done. I mean, the Americans had to get Saddam Hussein and kill him and capture him and take a photograph of him and advertise him in the press before they could honestly claim victory in Iraq. Right? That's the way that we expect military victories to be paraded. We expect to have some sort of a victim. This is the guy that we were after. We found him. We've done our job. Victory has been declared. That's the way that we expect. But there's nothing really that we can point to here. We unfortunately did not manage to bring back the bodies of our soldiers who are still somewhere in Gaza, or the Israeli civilians who are somewhere in Gaza. That we did not manage to do. We did not manage to kill Mohammed Deif, even though it was acknowledged that we were after him, and there was an acknowledgement that I think on at least two or three occasions he was targeted and failed. So we didn't have that victory that we could present as you know, a job well done. Hamas was still firing rockets at us on the last day of the operation, and even though they generally like to come out with a real barrage, fire towards Tel Aviv, really have an exit, and that exit was not in evidence on this occasion. The fact remains that at the time of the ceasefire in the early hours of Friday morning, Hamas still clearly had significant firepower, and so the question is, to what extent did we really weaken them during the course of this operation, and therefore to what extent did we really achieve any success? That's the question that we're asking. And you know, for the Israeli public, I think they would have liked to have seen Hamas
tangible.
Weakened. Mm. Hamas weakened more substantially. That on the last day, Hamas couldn't fire any rockets because we'd managed to really take out all their firepower. And that's success. You know, that's real success rather than having to wait until the very last minute and drop the final rocket just to say goodbye. You know, those were in evidence right until the very, very last moment when the ceasefire came into operation. So nothing really substantial that we can stand up and say, this is what we managed to achieve. Now, of course, Prime Minister Netanyahu and Defense Minister Benny Gantz and the Chief of General Staff, Kochavi, and also the head of the Shin Bet, the General's Intelligence Service, General Security Service, Nadav Argaman, stood up on Friday. They had a press conference. They presented all the successes, all the people, the pictures of all the various Hamas operatives who had been eliminated in the process. We understand that Hamas is still busy digging through the tunnels in order to extract bodies from the tunnels of those tunnels that were destroyed, the people who were killed in the process of those tunnels being destroyed as well. That's an operation that's still ongoing. But it's very, very difficult for the general public to look at this and say, what we actually achieved something of note here, that there was really something substantial that we could come home and say, this is, you know, the victory. So, and I've seen a very, very interesting article that's analyzed an Iranian article, not an official article, but a press article, which talks about Iran very much being involved, that this was planned from some time before, that this was really all about trying to alienate those Gulf countries that have entered into the Abraham Accords with Israel to try and isolate them from the general Arab opinion, and to also try to strengthen Hamas in the wake of the Palestinian elections having been cancelled. Interestingly, the article ends with a statement that says, now, in light of this operation, Hamas has been strengthened so much that there was if there was an election held today, they would definitely win, no doubt. That's the end of the article. That's the whole final, the finale of this particular article. So we ask ourselves, what are the protests around the world about? Why are people coming out and protesting? What are they protesting in favor of? Mm. What are they protesting against? What is the point that people are trying to make? I'm, you know, maybe Howard, you were closer to it, some of these protests than I've been. But, you know, I see in horror people gathering with the Palestinian flags and chanting all kinds of things. What is the protest all about? I don't really know what people are trying to say here. What are they trying to identify with, or what are they trying to protest against? I'm not sure what the statement is really, because it's clear to me, and I think it's clear to most of us. I mean, we saw European governments and governments around the world in general flying Israeli flags are on the top of their parliament buildings in support of Israel. So even though the public opinion seems somehow to have been lost, because that was considered to be one of the greatest victories for Hamas in this operation, is the amount of public opinion that was garnered.
I think that was a victory.
Public opinion is there anyway, though, Coward. I don't know.
Well, it might be. It might be. But my observation certainly is that it's never been this bad, we've never had a situation before where it's just the cognitive dissonance and the amount of doubling down on this narrative that the Palestinians are all victims and Israel is the oppressor. That's the narrative, and everything that is logical and clear and blatant when Hamas is calling for Jews to be murdered, all of that is very, and rockets are raining down upon Israeli civilians, all of that is very comfortably shoved in a drawer in order to allow this narrative to continue. There is no rational discussion, or very, very limited rational discussion. And to me, that's my biggest fear. This is all emotion, rhetoric. It's shrill and it's hysterical. And the problem with that is it doesn't allow a space for any form of discussion. Because they've doubled down on it, which is a huge concern for me.
Which is why I come back to my question as to what people are really protesting about or in favor of. I don't think there is really any protest. I think it's just all about people coming out in support of Hamas.
Yes,
and by supporting Hamas, you're effectively simply supporting anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism and activities against the Jews. That's really what you're supporting, because that's what they're really all about. They've demonstrated year after year, time after time.
Anthony, they said so. They say so. They can't make it any clearer than they want, than they are making it. And it's so interesting because they've almost pushed it right in during this conflict. They've pushed that. They've said, they've acknowledged firing rockets from civilian areas. They've acknowledged using their women and children as happy to, for them to die for PR purposes. They've acknowledged everything, but still,
so why people do Jews around it? The world think that Israel is the bad guy? Why are we presenting the bad guys? This is just all a David and Goliath.
That's the narrative, but it's all about, it's all at the end of the day, unfortunately, it is all anti-Semitism. And so, it's a terrible thing to say because it does mean we do need to wrap up, but it doesn't mean that there shouldn't be criticism of Israel. Of course there should be. I'm deeply critical of Israel. So are you over certain things that we agree, we disagree. It doesn't matter. Of course there should be that. Not all criticism of Israel is anti-Semitism, but raising a flag that is a reflection of an organization that wants to kill Jews most certainly is. Anthony, I'm sorry, we do, I'd love to continue, but we're going to have to pick this up tomorrow. It is 8:01, and let's continue this conversation because I think it is important. The question is, what is actually being protested?